Hey,
Heya.
welcome to Burnley Talks. Cutlery apple.
Cutlery apple.
I say, get fucked.
Sorry.
I make a bomb out of a burger.
Other than that.
Should we get started?
Yeah. Ben.
Yes.
Yesterday, we spent around 5.5, 6 hours watching Adam Sandler films, which was pretty fun, I must say.
Nice.
Fun was had.
If that's what you want to call it. No, I enjoyed it.
It was good. We watched Grown Ups, which was classic. We watched Uncut Gems, which is a
unreal
fucking classic. And then we watched Hubie Halloween, which
is
an unexpected classic, I must say.
I was not expecting it to be quite as good as it was.
I should probably get up my notes for this episode because I can't use my computer.
Then.
I realize this.
Today's snack, just in case everyone was wondering, crunchy salted caramel M&Ms.
I'd love to be sponsored by M&M's. Fuck sugar-free sweets. They're the worst. They make you shit yourself. Did you know that? They have laxatives in.
We all know a certain music producer that could have used them a week and a half ago.
Insert picture of Jenny.
I'll make the 38. Back to the films at hand.
I've got one fun fact here. This is just a good, nice, easy fun fact. This is just interesting.
Once again, spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoilers for all three because one of the funniest scenes in one of the films comes at the end of one of them. And that we have to talk about that because it is the funniest scene by far.
Yeah.
But fun fact. This is just a general Adam Sandler factoid for you, Ben. His net worth is apparently $420 million. How ridiculous.
Hey.
I thought it was fun because of
what a
the,
number.
Because of the number, but also because of the amount.
Wow.
Yeah, he's fucking minted, mate.
That's a lot.
Yeah, he's mega. Like he and he, you know what?
For someone that is so consistently ridiculed for
Do you know he has
the same person.
I can't remember what they're called. They're called like the Razzies or something, which is basically like the Oscars but for being shit. He's won like multiple. I think he's won like five, which is pretty impressive. And one time it was back to back, which is again
Jesus
just
Christ.
Really impressive.
Well done, Adam Sandler.
I've got here. Here's a quote from Adam Sandler. I believe it was on the Jimmy Kimmel Live. Right, he was said this is about Uncut Gems, on whether or not he's offended being told that he's actually really good in Uncut Gems. And his response was, you know, it's a different style of movie. My comedies are light and fun. I love doing them. I get different types of compliments like, man, I was so stoned the other night when I saw your movie. But this is different. This is the Safdie brothers. And that's all he had to say on the matter, which is fair enough because I love Adam Sandler. Like, I really fucking love him. And even I was saying to people like, no, he's really good in Uncut Gems. But the thing is, he's good in every film. It's just different styles of movies. And the Safdie brothers are nuts. They're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, their films are awesome.
The way they put it together, it's weird because they had such a chaotic, serious plot point, but then their music that they put on it was just completely, it did not match, but it matched perfectly. Because
it's weird how, I don't know what the word would be for music, but it's like the music felt so organized in comparison to how chaotic the film was going, and like the noises were just like, it really fucking unsettled everything. It was
the music as I heard it, I could imagine that being played over a scene in like a sci-fi space film of them doing something slow, calm, not a lot is happening, they're just sort of they're landing on a moon somewhere, or they're just taking their first steps or something like that.
Right, another fact, I don't know if you would know this actually. The Safdie brothers wrote this film over a decade ago, and they wrote it specifically for Adam Sandler.
Wow.
Yeah.
A decade ago as well. That was...
So it would have been 2009, like 2008, 2009.
That's
when they
a
wrote
long
it,
time.
Which is fucking cool. But and also, they did this thing... Because obviously Adam Sandler, he was used to being... Well, I say used to being comedies. He was known for being in comedies and stuff. And so when people saw that he was going to be in like a Safdie Brothers crime drama, it's kind of like whack. Or like I don't know what the fuck you'd call it. Anyway, because the Safdie Brothers also did Good Time with Robert Pattinson, who, again, at the time was known for being like, just known as like Twilight. He was always doing like indie films. And then he did like a crime film. And Robert Pattinson was beautiful in the goddamn Safdie Brothers film Good Time. And same with Adam Sandler, because they're both really fucking capable actors, obviously.
They are, yeah.
So, Uncut Gems, what did you expect going into it? Because I told you it was like a serious film or like a crime film.
What was I expecting? So, I'd heard a little bit about it. Nothing major, nothing in depth. Just sort of heard, this is kind of mad. It's completely different. Obviously, I knew what roughly it was about a jeweler. Didn't know anything else, really. And I was sort of going into it thinking, okay, I feel like this is going to be like another Jim Carrey situation where Jim Carrey's really great at doing comedies, but then he did that one serious film and blew everyone out of the water and just went, no way, man. Adam Sandler's going to do the same. He's going to knock this out of the ballpark. Like, he's going to come into this film. People are going to watch it and go, wow. Wow. He could be cast in a serious role that is harrowing or severely emotional or whatever. That's what I thought. And then watching it yesterday, I was like, okay, yeah, okay. I kind of thought that was going to happen. Mm. And man, it did happen.
Yeah, he is like, the film is so fucking incredible because, and you can put it down to the Safdie brothers and their direction, because they do these, like, obviously they did Good Time, which again is just another chaotic crime drama. And then Adam Sandler, again, his acting is just fucking incredible. Like, it's so believable that he is this, like, kind of like, he's not necessarily a scummy jeweler. Because it seems like he's trying to do, like, a nice thing. Like, he is, like, nice. But he keeps making, like, really poor decisions.
Yeah.
And you want to feel bad for him. But at the same time, you know he's just putting himself in that situation. And then you get to, like, the midpoint of the film and everything is going to shit. And you get in this feeling in, like, it happened to me, like, I wasn't necessarily, like, tearing up, but it was kind of, like, the pressure and tension was, like, really crushing me. And I was like, fucking hell, I'm going to have a breakdown if I watch something go wrong.
They properly made you feel for him.
They really did.
As far as you're concerned, what he was feeling is exactly what you're feeling.
Mm.
When he was at the low point and nothing was going right, you're thinking, oh God, everything's shit. Like, I don't feel good. And then something good would happen and then he'd blow it. Like, he was doing the same thing as someone like a gambler would.
He kept trying to get more and more. Like, there was that scene with Kevin Garnett when he gave him the 160K and he was like, this is a deal. Like, you've got the money. And then he went and made a bet and then gave it to fucking, what's her name? Can't remember her name in the thing.
Julia.
Yeah, isn't that the actress's name? Or was that her name?
That's her name.
Oh, that's so interesting.
It was Julia something like that in the film. And in real life, it's Julia Fox, who is gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah, that is very true.
She is. Next episode, Julia Fox on the show. Woo!
We'll reach out to her fucking Instagram. Hello, Julia. We really like you at Uncut Gems.
Hello.
So obviously, as I was saying with the crushing feeling, that, like, it was my second time watching the film, and when I was watching it with you, I was waiting for this fucking scene to happen. So when he locks those guys in, like, in between his store and the outside in their fucking, like, locked system, and he puts on the game, and he's, like, watching all the bets, like, come into play, and you're getting happy for him. You think it's finally we're finally going to get the payoff. He's finally going to get, like, what he's been wanting this entire film, all the struggles that he's been through. It's going to be worth it because he's going to get this fucking huge win that he's made his fucking
assistant. And we can finally relax.
We can chill out. And, you know, he's fucking celebrating and he's running around. He's excited. He says he's going to pay.
Normal Adam Sandler at that point.
And, you know, he's letting them out. He's like, yeah, you're going to get your money. Oh, motherfucker. I knew it was coming when that tough guy...
All right, you've proved your point.
And then, God, he just gets fucking shot in the goddamn cheek, bro. I knew it was happening and I just felt so horrible.
I did not. Not for a second did I think that it was going to happen in, like, nowhere did I think. You heard my reaction.
Yeah, when I first watched it, I specifically remember, because I was watching it with my girlfriend at the time, and then we only got halfway, and then I finished the last half. And I remember being sat on the edge of my bed, like, fucking focusing on the screen, being like, holy fucking... It was like one of those where you're, like, actually saying out loud your reaction to things. It was like, no, fuck, what the fuck, no. You're like, how could this fucking happen?
There's pain, like, stubbing your toe, then there's that scene.
Yeah, truly. It Julie Bowen, so Violet in Hubie Halloween, She said, when working with Adam, especially on a comedy, there's a certain intelligence that comes through when you empathize with his character because he feels real. You can apply that to Uncut Gems, like, wholly, in its whole. Because he feels like he is just part of this big Jewish family, and he's a jeweler, and he's a gambler. And, you know, he's kind of like, he wants to take care of the people that he loves, but equally he's a bit of a dick because, you know, he was having spats with people, like, throughout the entire film. But again, it just shows how fucking incredible he actually is. Like, people need to realize, like, just because he did, like, comedies that are perceived as, like, pretty shit, doesn't mean he's a bad actor. He's actually probably one of the best actors in Hollywood. He just chooses to do these comedies and films.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's
and
what
he showed ability to play different styles. Because not only did he play the scummy jeweler, but he played the person that sees the customers. He played the person that gets threatened and beaten up by his family member and these thugs. Yeah. Then he had to play the divorcing husband. Then had to play the father to his kids that had to know nothing. Then he played the young romantic to Julia. Like, he played all these different versions of the one guy in the same film, like, and had to flip between them. Like, that's
yeah. And again, I feel like that is exactly what, because, you know, when you're with certain friends, you act kind of differently, and that makes it feel more real. Because when he was with certain people, he acted tougher, and when he was with, like, Julia, you could tell he was a lot softer, and he, like, well, although saying that, he was also, like, really angry at that one point at the weekend. That was one of
But understandable.
Just, yeah, it is fucking understandable, really. She wasn't selling coke. What the fuck? She grabbed his dick. She grabbed the weekend's dick. What the hell?
Why the fuck are you so hard? Fuck off, woman.
I have a great fun fact about Uncut Gems, right? I was going to tell you this yesterday, because you even brought it up, because you said how the thugs, the guards, looked really fucking intimidating. Adam Sandler said that most of the actors on set weren't actors. They were, like, real-life tough guys.
What?
Yeah, they were, like they may be actors, right? But he said, like, they were like, tough guys before they became actors.
Right.
So, like, they're actually, like, genuinely quite scary people. And
they did a good job of casting them. Like,
yeah, that the main...
Obviously, the one that shot him.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
You know, think about the character. What a genius Julia was to get that fucking rich penthouse twat head.
The rich Rod Stewart Trump ass looking motherfucker.
Yeah, to go get the money. And they were just like, oh, there's a guy winning money, poggers. Let's let him go. And he's like, oh, deliver you your money. Oh, what a weird guy.
Come out to my room.
I got penthouse A. Shut up. Is there anything else about Uncut Gems that you... all that particularly stood out, I guess.
The first scene. The first thing, it's in Ethiopia, in the mine, and the first thing you see is some guy's bloody shin bone sticking out his leg.
Yeah, I was very confused when I first saw that.
But that set the tone for the film. It's like, okay, you're going to see some stuff, and it's going to come out of nowhere, and you're going to go, ugh, I didn't want to see that.
And speaking of the didn't want to see that, when the intro finishes, you finish looking at Adam Sandler's colon.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Bummel.
Well,
that was another bit that we, like, brought it all up. He had the report and nothing was wrong, because I thought, oh, it's going to come back to that at some point in the movie, and he's cancer or something.
He's just an older gentleman getting checked, you know.
Yeah, god, I can't wait.
What a great, honestly. The thing is, I'm just going to ignore what you said. The film was fucking fantastic, and I honestly loved it even more on a second watch, especially watching it with someone who hasn't seen it, because it was great getting the same reactions from you that I had the first time. Because honestly, the film was so good. If you haven't, like, I don't know, obviously people have seen it, we said spoilers, but if you haven't seen it, you fucking should, because it's that good. So, leading on from Uncut Gems, obviously, I believe I mentioned this, he got snubbed at the Oscars. And he made a vow to make a really bad film. That film was Hubie Halloween, which, it can be argued, isn't bad at all. It's actually really good. Like, the way it's done, you can definitely put it down as, oh, he's just taking the piss. It's just like, it's just poor comedy. But it's actually really fucking funny, and he's really intelligent. Yeah. And Hubie Halloween is one of my favorite comedies that has come out recently. And it was great that it was Halloween.
Yeah, I agree.
And Adam Sandler, and he had all his mates in it.
if you go into it expecting a low ball movie, you're going to come out of it thinking, holy shit, that was pretty damn good.
Mm, 100%.
And I'm not a massive fan of American comedy. I don't find that funny. I like British comedy. Like the British Office makes you feel your skin crawl because you're like, oh, that's awkward. That's what I find funny. But
yeah.
This film made me laugh.
Yeah, this. Yeah,
and we laughed a lot.
We really did. It was the film is so good. My favorite part of the film, or my favorite parts of the film, is definitely the flask, because he mentions it just once at the beginning that he made a Swiss Army flask or a Swiss Army thermos or whatever, and then throughout the entire film, he's using it for various things, and it is just fantastic.
He's got a torch, an umbrella, a grappling hook, catches the eggs in it, shakes it up, and makes a bloody egg thing, Rocky Balboa style. What else does he do? Well, he's obviously got the last drop of soup that he
I liked it when he used it for soup. That.
I liked the bit where the side popped open and an inhaler came out. Everything else seemed to come out the actual end of it.
Yeah,
brilliant bit of the film throughout that was repeated was his ability to dodge things.
Oh my
riding
God.
Down, you'd always have the front-facing camera looking dead at him, riding down the street, and he'd just be ducking and weaving, dodging pitchforks, eggs, pumpkins, a cat, bin lids.
Just everything. Everything gets launched at him. And I can't remember, I feel like you asked, like you think it's funny how he's able to dodge it, and you're like, how? Yeah. And the theory is that he's had things thrown at him his entire life, so he's become really adept at dodging, which is honestly hilarious. It's just
dodging 100.
It is just such a funny film, and every character is funny, I think. Like
everyone.
Every single character has their funny moment. And
obviously, I think we both can agree on what was the funniest moment.
The funniest moment definitely comes at the end of the film, or towards the end of the film, when we find out that, spoilers, Hubie's mum is going to murder all the bullies, right? Because everyone's been mean to Hubie his entire life. And the police arrive with their guns fucking drawn, and just in the background, you can see Rob Schneider and Steve Buscemi holding up
fire on my command,
holding up their fucking finger guns.
Like this as well. They're proper proud about it.
So, another thing about Hubie, which if you stuck around for the end credits, you would know that the film is a tribute to Cameron Boyce, who obviously died having like an epilepsy seizure in his sleep, which is horrible, and. It was very sweet. It said, "Gone way too soon. One of the kindest, coolest, funniest, and most talented kids we knew," was quoted. I can't remember who made the quote. I want to say it was Adam Sandler.
I would say it
would have to be. And Boyce, obviously,
unless it was a collaborative thing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't know. It may have said the quote, or may have said who said it. Boyce worked with Sandler on Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2, and was set to star in Hubie. But obviously died before production started. So his friend and Jesse co-star, Karen Bra, was recast. He was the bully, you know, in the...
Dressed as Queen,
He took over the role. And that's... I'm pretty sure that... I want to say because he died, they got more of the Jesse, like, cast, as well as more of the people that have worked with Boyce with Sandler before. Oh, he's back. He's back. Hello.
I'm back. I'm going to detonate my Wi-Fi router at this rate.
I think the way I've got it set up on YouTube, I think if I look this way and you look... No.
We'd look well, at... I was recreating the Beatles, Abbey Road.
We'd look at each other. Anyway, let's talk about Grown-Ups. A swift maneuver. Grown-Ups. So Grown-Ups, I love, and not only because it is just funny, but it's funny because it feels like humor that anyone would have when they hang out with their best mates at a summer house next to a lake, you know? Like, all their jokes, I feel like, we would make, like if we were there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny because also it says here, I can't remember who quoted this. I feel like it's just a general note. Friendship's very important to Sandler. He works with the same actors multiple times. He's worked with Kevin James. I don't know when this was written, but he's worked with Kevin James 5 times, Salma Hayek 2x, Chris Rock and David Spade go all the way back to the 90s together. And Sandler loves the idea of a real-life comedy. It's him and his friends hanging out. He's quoted that the first shoot they did on the first Grown Ups was one of the best summers of his life, which... Mm. I mean, I just believe, because looking at the behind the scenes of that, like, you can tell they had a script, but then you can also tell that each take they did, they would make a different joke to see how it would
fare. Oh yeah.
This is an interesting fact. It's not a fun fact. It's just interesting because it really shows like the difference of the lives they live, right? So Adam Sandler, obviously in the film, he doesn't want his kids being spoiled. Basically is the whole premise of the film. He wants his kids to grow up normal. And when asked whether he, Sandler, has a fear of his children growing up elitist in a Beverly Hills home, he responded with the amount of money that I have, it's difficult to raise children the way I was raised. I took away the north and west wing of the house. They're not allowed there. I understand his logic, but I just find that a very funny quote to say.
Arguably, the kids could then go, we're so rich that we're not even allowed in parts of the house because it's that big.
Yeah, I mean, who really knows? I mean, again, like, I understand his logic. I know what he's like.
Yeah, I get it. And again, in the film, it's a good message as well, what they're going for. They're trying to make sure that no matter what background you come from, you can all have fun together.
Mm. And, but, oh, God, because his kids in the film are dickheads, honestly. Like, they really are. Like, the worst...
At first...
Well, no, obviously at first. Like, by the end, they're all, like, chilling. They're all friends. They all play outside in the lake, and it's great.
Yeah, this is the Skipping Stones bit. Turning point for them, isn't it?
But it's the... Oh, my God. There was multiple lines. Whenever they... You know, at the beginning, when they're at the house before the daughter crashes the car, they say something like... They say something to the nanny. What's her name? Rita. And I just think that is just abhorrent anyway, like, regardless, like, if she's a nanny, cool, but even if you had like a fucking dedicated butler, I would not shout their name from like across the house to ask for a hot chocolate.
She gets there with whatever it is and they don't want it anymore.
Yeah. Oh God. Anyway, so yeah, they're elitist as fuck. And the other line which really sticks out is when he was like, oh, we were over at the Spielbergs yesterday. They have a 150-inch TV. Can we get one of those? And then Adam Sandler's like, yeah, when you direct E.T., I'll get you one of those. And I thought that was a funny line, but still. Just shows how fucking... there are kids out there like that who are just, like, mad elitists who, like, don't realise that they're born into this, like...
Some of them won't even... Yeah, some of them won't even realise they're doing it. They don't mean to be like that. They're just born into it.
Well, yeah, because you could also argue at that point... Because obviously Adam Sandler kind of knows... that he has given them this life, obviously, like, by having a nanny, they ask for things from the nanny, and the nanny just goes and gets them, and he's like, well, I gave them the nanny, but, like, shouldn't do that, really, go get your own hot chocolate would be, like, I don't know, just fucking slap them over the head, be like, go get your own hot chocolate, you twat, you fucking, honestly, little utes. When they saw the old TV, and he was like, what's the back part of this, and he's like, that's the rest of the TV, and he was like, that's some stone age shiznit or some bullshit line like that. I just thought, it doesn't matter how rich you are, surely you know what an old TV looks like.
I mean, the film came out 2010.
2010, yeah.
And they were probably, they're probably about the same age as us, realistically.
Yeah, I think Cameron Boyce is our age. I think he might be a little bit younger because he died at, you know what? I'm going to Google it because I'm interested. No, he's fucking... Woo, I'm older than him. He was 20.
By December the
6th. He was 20 when he died. 19? 20.
Right.
Yeah. 20-year-old passed away in his sleep on 6th of July 2019. Yeah,
and I know when I was young, I had one of those TVs. I had a box TV. I know many people that had box TVs. And the best part about those box TVs, stick a magnet on it, makes loads of pretty colours. They're great. Can't do that on the normal ones now. Put a magnet near it, it'll probably break the thing.
I don't know. Okay, I get that they're characters in a fucking movie and it's like a bit dramatic that they're like really elitist. Yeah. But at the same time, it's kind of like, come on, man. Like, how elitist can you really be?
Big thing I want to say about the film.
Mm.
it didn't follow a traditional comedy film structure. A normal comedy film starts off funny, 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 meet the characters, funny, 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 gets to where they're all together, they all do something, climax, it starts to go up, they have a big problem, and then it crashes, and then blah, 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 blah. This film didn't have that climax, it was a big problem to overcome, and they all split up, stopped talking to each other. It was throughout the film, after they met up, it was just them having a great time, constant laughs, and it was just like meeting up with your friends. You don't go through a mid halfway through, suddenly you have an argument and then not talk to each other and then all go back and resolute and go, oh, I'm so sorry about that. You just go through and have a great time.
Yeah.
And that's what that film did.
And it is funny because the like, at, you know, at the end when they're all kind of like saying, you know, when they're all on top of the...
Yeah, thing, yeah.
Like, that is technically like the resolution. But like the only thing,
even
which,
then,
the only thing which caused them all to go there was the fact that Rob Schneider thought that I can't remember what his I can never remember characters' names. What the fuck? Was,
yeah.
Rob Schneider thought that David Spade's character slept with his daughter. He didn't, so he was just running away. And then all of them kind of converge on the area, and they're all like, "Oh, you know, there should never be secrets in a family," and that's about it. Like, oh, great.
Yeah, and then the old woman's a bloke.
I think you're right. It is just friends hanging out in the same place. And like, it's like the minor spats that they had, you know, like Chris Rock's, like their relationship. She thought that he was like cheating on it or like gonna want a piece of the nanny.
Yeah.
But like, obviously nothing actually happened. There was no real wrongdoing there. It was just thought, it was just like a minor, I'm a bit jealous. It's fine though, because actually we love each other. Great. It's a great film. It's a good message.
Yeah, really, really good. Really good.
We'll watch
really
the good. Second one at some point.
Yeah.
Wasn't as good, but still very funny.
All in all, three very good films, three very different films.
Adam Sandler,
and
fantastic.
Yeah, what a G.
Cannot fault Adam Sandler. I personally love the fucking guy. I will watch every film that he brings out because I know what I'm getting into. When I see that he's signed a film or signed multiple films with Netflix and I see it's released, I go... cool, another Sandler comedy. I know what I'm getting into. He has signed on to a film where he is playing. This is the thing, right? Because you know, I told you that he's like well into basketball. Like, he's actually really fucking good.
Yeah.
He knows so much about it. He is playing a basketball scout in his next film, which is done by, I want to say, LeBron James's production company. And I think he said on, I want to say it was on Jimmy Kimmel. It's a film about the scout, so him finding a star in like Spain, and he brings him over to America, and then like that's just the story, is like getting the kid to like become fucking incredible. So that'll be interesting because obviously he's not just acting there, he's actually just doing what he loves.
I mean, Adam Sandler just looks cool anyway.
Yeah,
the stuff he wears, you see like him when he's just out and about.
Yeah, the thing is, like, people hate on Adam Sandler's fashion sense, right? Because he wears like proper baggy like clothes. It's like he has no dress sense, but I actually think the opposite. I feel like he knows exactly what he's comfortable in, and he just fucking wears it. Why would he give a shit what fucking Joe walking down the street thing? It's like, who gives a fuck? I mean, really.
Yeah.
If he wants to wear these huge basketball shorts and these like really comfortable basketball shoes, which he's probably worn his entire life because he loves basketball, and he wants to wear these baggy shirts and go play pickup games in a random city that he's visiting, fucking let him do it. He's a legend.
Do it.
You know?
If you wear something with confidence, it will look good.
Yeah.
And I think he does that
and
well.
I think now that he's grown the beard, like, he looks just like a proper man, you know what I mean?
Yes.
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 What do you want to talk about, Ben? Is there something on your mind?
I think there's a domestic going on out there, but other than that, no.
You know what?
Kind of nice to hear.
We'll even extend this out, you know, if you want us to talk about something, whether it be a film, an actor, a director, a music, like a... maybe an album or something. Nah, that's Liam's thing, to be fair.
I think that's a great idea that we came up with ourselves.
Yeah. Ben, do you want to do an album reaction?
Yeah, Little Mix.
Here's the joke. Liam has reacted to all of these.
Ah, I think I know what our next topic will be, Ben. Because
what is that?
You'll have to wait and see. How many Diary of a Wimpy Kid films are there? Two, three.
I mean, the books.
Yeah, there's...
Books.
I'm not reading books, though.
No, I don't read them. I've got them under my bed. No, I don't. Where do they go? I've got a new bed. I don't know where they are.
In fact, Fair enough. If anyone somehow is listening to this and they are not subscribed to Elliot's channel, there is an absolute banging series of videos that are going to be coming out on his channel very soon. So
yes.
I will definitely put his link at the end of this video because yes. I cannot wait for those videos.
We had a lot of fun recording it.
I don't. Yeah, you know what? I was going to tease it, but you know what? I won't even say anything. It's just fucking hilarious.
What we can do after is we'll do a podcast episode analysing why it was comedically funny.
Yeah, we can. You know, we can even... I don't know.
I approve of that message.
Thank you.
Hell yeah, man.
That was a good reference right there.
That was good. No worries. Fair enough.
See you around.
See you around. That's got me the...